Part 6. The Cleansing. Every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. John 15, verse 2. There are two remarkable things about the vine. There isn't a plant of which the fruit has so much spirit in it, of which spirit can be so abundantly distilled as the vine. And there is no plant which so soon runs into wild wood that hinders its fruit, and therefore needs the most merciless pruning. I look out of my window here on a large vineyard. The chief care of the vine dresser is the pruning. You may have a trellis vine rooting so deep in good soil that it needs neither digging, nor manuring, nor watering. But pruning it cannot dispense with, if it is to bear good fruit. Some trees need occasional pruning. Others bear perfect fruit without any, but the vine must have it. The vine must be pruned. And so our Lord tells us here at the very outset of the parable that the one work that the Father does to the branch that bears fruit, is that he cleanseth it, so that it may bear more fruit. Consider a moment what this pruning or cleansing is. It isn't the removal of weeds or of thorns or anything from outside that may hinder the growth, no. No, it's the cutting off of the long shoots of the previous year. It's the removal of something that comes from within that has been produced by the life of the vine itself. It is the removal of something that is a proof of the vigour of its life. The more vigorous the growth has been, the greater the need for pruning. It is the honest, healthy wood of the vine that has to be cut away. And why? Because it would consume too much of the sap to fill all the long shoots of last year's growth. The sap must be saved up and used for the fruit alone. The branches, sometimes 8 or 10 feet long, are cut down close to the stem, and nothing is left but just 1 or 2 inches of wood, enough to bear grapes. It is when everything that is not needful for the fruit bearing has been relentlessly cut down, and just as little of the branches as possible has been left, that full, rich fruit may be expected. What a solemn, what a precious lesson this is. It is not to sin only that the cleansing of the husbandman here refers. It is to our own religious activity, as it is developed in the very act of bearing fruit. It is that must be cut down and cleansed away. We have, in working for God, to use our natural gifts of wisdom or eloquence or influence and zeal, but yet there are ever dangers of being unduly developed, and then of them being trusted in. And so after every season of work, God has to bring us to the end of ourselves, to the consciousness of the helplessness and the dangers of all that is of man, to feel that we are nothing. All that is to be left of us is just enough to receive the power of the life-giving sap of the Holy Spirit. What is of man must be reduced to the very lowest measure. All that is inconsistent with the most entire devotion to Christ's service must be removed. The more perfect the cleansing and the cutting away of all that is of self, the less of surface over which the Holy Spirit is to be spread, and so much more intense then can be the concentration of our whole being to be entirely at the disposal of the Holy Spirit. This is the true circumcision of the heart, the circumcision of Christ. This is the true crucifixion with Christ, bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus in the body. Oh, blessed cleansing, God's own cleansing. How we may rejoice in the assurance that we shall bring forth more fruit. Oh, Father, how we ask you to cleanse and to cut away all that which is of ourself, of myself, that can become some source of self-confidence, of glorying in me, instead, Lord, of lifting up the Lord Jesus, that he may be all in all, that I may decrease as he may increase. For I am nothing, but he is everything. Lord, keep me low, low at the cross. Low, Lord, worshipping before your feet, that no flesh may glory in me, but that the glory may go to you and to you alone. Lord, I trust you to do a cleansing work in my life.